Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, and Ray is going to read for us.
Therefore, get your minds ready for work. Keep yourself under control and fix your hopes fully on the gift you will receive when Yeshua the Messiah is revealed. As people who obey God, do not let yourselves be shaped by the evil desires you used to have when you were still ignorant. On the contrary, following the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in your entire life, entire way of life, since the Tanakh says, you are to be holy because I am holy.
Thanks, Ray. Good job. Amen. Look what the Lord says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. The Lord Himself says to you and I, you are to be holy because I am holy. In other words, we are to be holy in our entire way of life. Everything about us is to be holy. Now this formulation, this equation, if you will, be holy for I am holy, is found three times in the Torah. At least three times. In Leviticus 11, it references dietary laws. And so the Lord says, I want you to be holy in what you put into the temple of the living God. So be holy in this. In Leviticus 19, he's referencing the purity codes. I want you to be holy in purity. I want you to be pure in your lifestyle, without defilement, without blemish. And doesn't that kind of foreshadow what the book of Ephesians tells us? I want you to be pure, spotless, and blameless before the Word of God. And in Leviticus 20, he references the laws of sexual immorality, which of course is a big issue in today's world in which we live. So in Roman numeral 2, I want to ask this question. What is holiness? And what does it look like? Now I want to get some feedback from you. What is holiness? And what does it look like?
To be separate from the world, like not to be like the world.
To be separate from the world. What else? Who else has something? Susan?
Not only that, but not to look like you're part of the world.
Not to look like you're part of the world. Holy. Anybody else?
To show God you love Him by keeping His commandments.
Show God that you love Him by keeping your commandments, His commandments.
Jesus said it's more like following after Him or emulating His likeness.
Following after the Lord, emulating His likeness. Good answers. Anybody else? Put down vain imaginations and work His virtues. Good. When you ask believers, what is holiness and what does it look like, you're going to get a whole array of different answers. Now, you guys have given good answers because you're educated. And you've been taught. Many people, their understanding of holiness is the act of doing good things, which certainly that is part of holiness. It's a big part of holiness. Holiness will often be equated by believers to something like godliness. If you're holy, you're godly. Or if you're godly, you're holy. Holy kind of carries with it an air of I can't get near you, I can't touch you, you can't participate in what I do. That's kind of that separation thing. But holiness is being set apart for God. Now listen, how does one become holy? You ever thought about that? Doing good things does not make you holy. How many understand that?
Yes.
just because you don't eat shellfish or pork, that doesn't make you a good person. That doesn't make you a holy person. Okay? How does one become holy? Biblically speaking, there's only one avenue to holiness. There's only one way to become holy, according to the Bible. And that is through sanctification. Now, these are big words, but we're going to look at some of these words today because I want you to get an understanding of the difference between sanctification and righteousness and holiness. We talked a couple weeks ago about justification and what that is and how that's different. Because, quite honestly, most people cannot sit down and define these different things for you. Most people think they all kind of mean the same thing, and they really don't mean the same thing at all. They're different words, and they have different meanings. And so the Bible tells us that the only avenue to holiness is through sanctification. To be holy, now hear this, to be holy, a person must first be set apart by another as holy. Okay? To be holy, a person must be set apart as holy. Okay? You can't work yourself into holiness. You can't just become holy. Someone else has to declare you holy. Okay? Now, we understand this, of course, as being set apart. Amen? And many of you gave that answer and talked about that. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 9 and let's look at this. This whole idea of being established and set apart as holy. In Romans chapter 9, let's start in verse 20. Romans 9:20. Who are you? A mere human being to talk back to God. Have you ever talked back to God?
Yes.
Yeah, like disobedient children, we have all participated in that. But you know, we don't understand when you talk back to God, you're really on dangerous ground. It's not smart to talk back to God. You are nothing in comparison to Him. Will what is formed, that's you and I, say to Him who formed it, that's the Lord, why did you make me this way? Now, quite honestly, most human beings that I know have addressed that same question to God. In fact, many believers excuse their sin based on this thesis. Well, you made me like this, so there I am. In fact, the entire gay movement is based on that premise. You made me this way, so how can you fault me? How can you condemn me? Who are you as a mere human being to talk back to God and say to Him, why did you make me this way? Verse 21. Or has the potter no right to make from a given lump of clay this pot for honorable use and that one for dishonorable? Okay? Now turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to tie this right in. 2 Timothy 2:20. Timothy 2:20 says, in a large house there are dishes and pots, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. That is, some are meant for honorable use, and some for dishonorable. If a person keeps himself free of defilement by the latter, he will be a vessel set aside for honorable use by the master of the house and ready for every kind of good work. So how does one become holy? God establishes you as holy. Okay? He sets you apart. He has chosen you to be an honorable vessel. Why me, Lord, and why not the guy next to me? There's no answer to that. God has chosen you to be set apart. Anybody that's saved, God has chosen you. And because He's chosen you, He has made you holy because He has set you apart from the rest of the crowd. How many know you are in the minority as believers? How many know you are different than the rest of the world? How many know you have been set aside and set apart from the rest of the world by the living God Himself? That makes you holy. If you never do another thing, you are an honorable vessel unto the Lord because He said you are. It's not based on your actions. Okay? Now, what about sanctification? I said that the only avenue, biblically speaking, to holiness is through sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Does anybody know? It's the process of becoming holy. How many know you're saved in an instant? In the moment of a twinkling of an eye. You're saved the moment you invite the Messiah into your life. Is that correct? That is correct. You become saved. But how many know that we're told to work out our salvation with much fear and much trembling? It is therefore a process. You're saved instantly, but you work out your salvation by means of a lifelong process. How many are still involved in that process? You better raise your hand, or I'm going to have to expose you. Webster defines sanctify or sanctification this way: to be made holy, to be set apart. He even says it, to be set apart as holy or consecrated, to make free from sin, and we're still working on that part, and to purify. His third definition is interesting. It says to make productive of spiritual blessing. In other words, to become a conduit for spiritual blessing. Doesn't 1 Peter tell us that we were called for this very purpose, to give a blessing? Amen? Everybody know that scripture? To give a blessing? All right. So in your notes, Roman numeral 2, letter A, to be set apart or different. To be set apart or different. Now let me illustrate this. Now get this, because this is extremely important. And I think this will help you to really get a handle on this. I want to illustrate this with the use of an illustration about the Sabbath day. Okay? We're all familiar with the Sabbath. And we know that God set the Sabbath day apart. How many are aware of that? He just arbitrarily picked the seventh day and said, the seventh day is holy. As soon as He said that, the Sabbath day became holy, just like you became holy when you received Messiah. And Messiah said, I'm setting you apart as an honorable, holy vessel. You're holy because God says you're holy. The Sabbath is holy because God says it's holy. It is the day set apart from all the other 6 days of the week. Amen? You got that picture in your mind? Now, we're told in the Scriptures to keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, I want you to understand, think about that. Think about the wording. Keep, you keep the Sabbath day holy. It's not saying that if you keep it, you're holy. You're already holy. You're holy because God called you as holy. The Sabbath day is already holy, no matter what you do with it, because God says it's holy. Now God is commanding you and I to make it or keep it holy in our lives, to work out our salvation. You keep it holy now. I've made it holy. I've called you holy. Now you keep the things holy that I call holy. What does that mean? That means you keep it separated from all the rest, just like God. What would Jesus do? Jesus would keep the Sabbath day holy. Because it's not optional. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Because you're already called as holy. You're already set apart. But now we are commanded, you keep the Sabbath day holy. Now what does that tell us? That tells us that we have a part to play here. That tells us that you have the ability to keep things on earth as they are in heaven. Make that connection?
Yes.
You have the ability to make things on earth as they are in heaven. Shabbat is holy in heaven. If you don't believe me, just get into the prophets and read. And you'll quickly find out that the Sabbath day is still being exalted and the Sabbath day is still being honored in heaven and will be through the millennial period and will be all the way into the eternity. The Shabbat. Okay? We're told to keep the Sabbath day holy. God established it as holy and we keep it holy. Now the Sabbath day, the Sabbath does not make itself holy. Saturday is just the last day of the week.
Right.
That's all it is. It's just another 24-hour period of time. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, just like on every other day of the week.
Yep.
Why is it holy? Because God separated it and said it's holy. This day is holy. Let me tell you something. When the seventh day begins, Friday night at sundown, holy time starts. Whether you like it or not. Whether you acknowledge it or not. In God's economy, holy time starts Friday night with the setting of the sun. And holy time continues until Saturday night at the setting of the sun. And then holy time ends. What we're doing today is meeting on Sunday morning. This is not holy time, according to God's Word. Is it still acceptable to come and read the Word of God and to gather the fellowship together? Of course it is. Every day is the same as the next, the Word says. Every day except Shabbat. Shabbat is not the same as every other day. Why? Because God said it's not the same. You get that picture? Okay, now we keep it holy. We are mandated to do this. Now let's look at this. Number B, righteousness is different than holiness. Righteousness is different than holiness. Who can define righteousness for me?
Doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing. Yeah. That is righteousness. But it even goes beyond that.
Yeah.
That's exactly the definition. Right standing with God. Okay? That's exactly the definition. Good job, Gary. Right standing with God. Now let me ask you a question. Why are you in right standing with God?
Because of Yeshua.
And?
Because
because he said you are holy. He sets you apart. And because of that work, you're sanctified. And because of that sanctification, you are holy. And because of that holy standing, you are righteous before God. Remember how I taught you that when you read the Word of God, you must always read the Word of God from two perspectives. What are they? Positionally and experientially. Mark that in your notes if you can't quite remember that. This is so important. Every time you read the Word of God, you must read it from a position, from your position in the Lord, and also read it from your experience. Your position is you are righteous. Period. Okay? Don't believe me? Turn to 2 Corinthians. And by the way, righteous can also mean sinless in a positional posture. Not experientially. Experientially, nobody in this room is sinless. Positionally, if you're here today and you know the Lord, you are sinless. Period. You are without sin in the Father's eyes. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's read in verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made this sinless man. Who's that?
Yeshua.
Thank you. God made this sinless man, Yeshua, to be a sin offering on our behalf. Why? So that in union with Him,
amen,
when we unite with Him, Yeshua, we might fully share in God's righteousness. In fact, the English translates it, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now that's different from holiness. Roman numeral B, righteousness is different. I mean, not Roman numeral, letter B. Righteousness is different than holiness. Righteousness is in right standing with God, sinless in your posture. Holiness is just being set apart for a work of honor. Remember, we read that. An honorable vessel to be used for good works. How many times does the Berean HaDashah, the New Testament, tell us that you have been ordained to do what? Good works. And the Hebrew actually says, mitzvot. The commandments of God. Because only God and only God's works are good works.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't Yeshua address that when the guy came? The scribe came and said, Master, we know that you're good. And he says, why are you calling me good? Only God is good. Remember that?
Yes.
So if only God is good, then the only works that are good are the works of God. Make sense?
That's right.
The works of God. Now, I'm not saying you can't do some good things, but I'm trying to make a point here. Number one, righteousness comes from the Messiah. Period. You don't get righteousness any other way. You can't work yourself into righteousness. You can't do enough mitzvot to make yourself righteous. You can't read the Bible long enough, hard enough. You can't pray long enough or hard enough to become righteous. You cannot become righteous. You are made righteous. Holiness is a process. That means becoming. Righteousness is not a process. Righteousness is an act of God in your life. Amen? Everybody got that? Number two, holiness is defined as separation. Holiness doesn't come from Messiah. We're going to talk today, and I'm going to show you, Holiness is your decision. The Lord said, you be holy because I am holy. Holiness is your decision. Even if you're righteous. How many know a righteous person who is in the Lord can do very unholy things?
Yes.
I'm sure most of us here have experienced that. Oh, wretched man that I am. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I really do want to do. Who will deliver me from this body of bondage and death? And number three, profane means common and ordinary. Okay. Righteousness comes from the Messiah. Holiness is defined as separation. And to profane means common and ordinary. When you don't keep Shabbat holy, you profane it. That doesn't mean you've cursed it. That doesn't mean you've blasphemed. That doesn't mean you're a reprobate and you're going to go to hell. What it means is you profaned it because you treated it just like every other day of the week and you made it common and ordinary. It was your choice. The Lord already set it aside as holy. It's holy. Whether you acknowledge it or not, does not matter.
Yes.
What you do with Shabbat doesn't change its position. What you do with it only affects experience. But the Lord says, I want you to make Shabbat holy. Because I have made it holy. You get that? You seeing that picture? When we argue that I can worship the Lord any day I want, it's all the same to Him, we do not understand what the Scriptures are really teaching. It's true you can worship the Lord on any day you want. That's true. That's admirable. And I recommend that you do it. But what I don't recommend is that you profane the Shabbat. Don't call ordinary what God calls holy. It's not good business. For a man will reap what he sows. And if you profane holy things, there will be a reaping for that. Are you with me? You understand that? Okay. Now, Roman numerals, or letter C. Holiness comes through sanctification. We already talked about that. It comes through this process. That process, in a nutshell, is acknowledging as holy whatever God calls holy. Does that make sense? If only God is good, then only God can tell us what holy is. Does that make sense? So if God says this is holy, then it's holy. If God says this food is clean and this food is unclean, then this food is clean, and this food is unclean. Simple as that. If God says it, that's it. You can eat whatever you want to eat. Just because you think you're under grace and liberty, however, which you are, all things are legal for us. They're just not profitable. So if you choose to eat something that God says is unclean, what will the benefit or the repercussion be to you? Now you're free to do either way. Just because you say pork is clean and I'm under grace and I'm in the New Testament and I can eat it, yeah, you can eat it. I love pork. But I'm telling you, I'm starting to get away from that now. I'm not eating pork anymore. I'm not doing shellfish anymore. Why? Because I want to, if God says this is clean and this is unclean, I want to acknowledge that in my life. I want to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. That's all. I'm not under legalism.
It's for our good.
I mean, I was in a hurry the other day. I bought an Egg McMuffin. How many know Egg McMuffins have ham in them? And I wolfed that little thing right down. Now, I did realize. That's okay. But I'm trying to bend my life, and I'm trying to conform my life. Don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be conformed to the Messiah. I'm trying to conform my life to Messiah's life. And Yeshua would never eat an Egg McMuffin. It'll never happen. Why? Because his father said it's unclean. And he's not going to defile himself with it. Remember, we talked about Metzora a few weeks ago. Even as a believer filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be defiled in God's eyes. You don't lose your salvation. God's not hateful and despiteful towards you. He's not mad at you. But for everything we sow, there is a reaping back to us. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, this he shall also reap. And that includes a little piece of unclean meat in an Egg McMuffin. I'm trying to get better with this. Now, this has nothing to do with me going to heaven, but this has everything to do with the abundance of life here and now.
And the length.
Because eating ham will shorten your life. It's very unclean. And again, I'm not on a crusade. I'm not saying you have to eat kosher. I'm not saying that. You don't have to eat kosher. God loves you whether you eat kosher or not. But if you're where I'm at, then you're in a place where you're trying to do this thing more excellent. I want to be pleasing to my Lord. After all, it was Yeshua himself that said, if you love me, then just keep my mitzvot. Back up your words with action. The normal stance in amongst believers is to say we love the Lord, but we profane everything He stands for. Sometimes unconsciously, sometimes consciously. Every believer I've talked to now about Shabbat, if they profane Shabbat, they're doing it consciously. Because I'm a herald of good or bad news, however you want to look at it. I'm just saying this is God's word. Yeah. Now you know. You don't have to keep it holy, but this is holy time. The only holy time in the week is Friday night to Saturday night. Period. Nothing else is holy in the whole week. And once you know that, now you have decisions to make. It's a bummer, isn't it?
Yes.
Ignorance is bliss.
That's right.
But let me tell you something. Here's why I feel I need to be a herald. Because even in ignorance, we reap what we sow. The only difference is when we're in ignorance, we can't figure out why our life isn't going the way it's supposed to be going. It's the only difference. We go, I don't understand. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to church on Sunday. I pray before I eat my shrimp. We're not doing everything we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, we're reaping. And our life isn't abundant. And we've got blinders on our eyes. And we don't see why. Where is the abundance of life? Remember, the mitzvot, the commandments, are the pathway that lead to the blessings of God. If you want the blessings, you've got to get on the right path. If you get on any other path, you end up lost. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation, but you're confused, you're mixed up, you're not sure where you're at or where you're going. All right. D, we're holy because God declared it. Period. Listen, when God declares something, that's the end of the story. You can say whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. You can act however you want. When God says this is how it is, that's how it is. Does everybody understand that? When God says, let there be light, there's light. When God says this is clean, it's clean. When He says this is unclean, this is unclean. When He says this is common, it's common. When He says this is holy, it's holy. And you and I are just stuck with that decision. There's no negotiating on this. The only negotiating that's to be done is what we do with what God has said. That's the only thing that's negotiable. Okay? E, being holy equals keeping the commandments or the mitzvot. I'm going to show you this in a minute. You want to be holy? How many want to be holy? The Lord said, I am holy, you be holy. How many want to be holy? I'm going to teach you today how the Word teaches us to be holy. F. When we pray the Jewish prayers, often you'll hear, they're kind of liturgical. And I've struggled with that because I am kind of anti-liturgy. I'll just be honest with you. I'm anti-liturgy, and I've kind of struggled with saying the same prayers every Shabbat. I'm having to get used to that. Now, that doesn't mean we can't add to those prayers, but we do those prayers because they're time-honored traditional prayers, and they're prayers that Yeshua Himself prayed. So if Yeshua prayed them, they're probably pretty good. I mean, considering Yeshua got everything He asked for, need I expound on that? And more. Amen. So this prayer that we pray, when we translate it out, who has sanctified us with His commandments. There's that word sanctified. How has He sanctified us? With His commandments. With His mitzvot. Okay? Now, there's a Jewish riddle that I want to share with you today. Here's the riddle. To be made holy, a thing must be separated from its context, clearly defined and demarcated by God. Everybody with me? God separates it out and says, this is holy. That's how you are made holy. He is the sanctifier. He is the one who set it aside, sanctified it. Yet somehow we are to contribute to that holiness. Isn't that right? I, the Lord your God, am holy, so you be holy. So somehow we contribute to this. We are to be holy, it says. The answer to this riddle is in the curious and often repeated liturgical formula, who has sanctified us with His commandments. Every Shabbat, when we light the candles, for instance, and many of the prayers are this way, but I'll use this one because it's very familiar. The woman's lighting the candles, says the prayer, and in that prayer she says this. She says, Asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav. That literally means, who has sanctified us with his commandments. Asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav. He sanctifies us with his commandments. His commandments, the mitzvot, are the pathway to blessing. They are also the pathway to holy living. All holy living means is you are keeping holy what God has called holy. That's all it means. That's all holy living is. It's not just running around doing random acts of kindness. Those are fine. Those are good. But they are not necessarily holy things. They're only holy if they happen to be mitzvot. Okay? Now, Asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, who has sanctified us with his commandments. It's customary that the Jews preface all performance of mitzvah with a blessing. When David Rubin was here, the ex-mayor of Shiloh, he went to our house. He had to use the restroom. Of course, he's Orthodox. So before he goes into the bathroom, he gives a blessing. And when he comes out, he gives a blessing. And he told us all about it. He said it's like cleaning out the plumbing. And it's keeping, you're eliminating, so you're keeping your temple clean. Yes. And so you're thanking God. Yeah. I went, wow. I never thought of that.
You're a painter, not a plumber.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Les never thought of that either. Turn to Psalm 119. Let me show you something here. Psalm 119. And we're going to go to verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Look at this. The psalmist is posing a question. How can a young man keep his way pure? Remember, the definition of sanctification we read from Webster was purity. It's a process of becoming pure. It's a process of working out our salvation. It's a process of becoming holy. How can a young man keep his way pure? He answers, by guarding it according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your mitzvot or your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Keeping the commandments is the way to holiness. Now, what's interesting with this very scripture that we just read, both the Christian and the Jew ask the same question. How can a young man keep his way pure? Both Christians and Jews ask that same question. Because both parties want to be pure. Okay? Look what happens, though. The Jew says, by guarding it according to your word. The Christian typically jumps over that one and says, I seek you with all of my heart. That's a little ambiguous, however, because we really don't know what that really means. The definition of what that means has already been given by guarding it according to your word. You see how we do this? Then the Jew says, don't let me stray from your mitzvot or your commandments, because your commandments are going to make me pure. The average Christian says, well, I just treasure your word in my heart. See, our thinking is not so much experiential, it's hypothetical. Well, I've got it in my heart. The Lord knows my heart. If you don't keep Sabbath, the Lord knows it in your heart. You're profaning the Sabbath, period. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter if you say, well, Sunday's the day I worship. That's fine, but you're still profaning Sabbath day. Now, I want you to get this. Now, this is not a sermon to try to get you out on Shabbat. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I want you to understand this whole issue of holiness. Because, quite honestly, I think the whole concept of holiness has gone right over our heads for 30 years. Actually, let me define that. For 2,000 years. I think this whole concept of holiness has gone over our heads because we're hiding the Word in our heart. But we're not doing the Word. And James says, if you know the Word but you don't do it, you're only deceiving yourself. Whereas the Jew says, I guard my ways according to your word. Don't let me stray from your mitzvot. Because this is the path that keeps me on the straight and narrow. Not some nebulous concept floating around in my heart, which, by the way, is deceitfully wicked in the first place. If you're leaning on your heart, you're already in trouble before you even get out of the gate, according to the Word. It's just that simple. And guys, we've got to start fessing up to some of this stuff and getting honest with ourselves here. If we're going to really go after God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, we've got to start doing it His way. There's only one way. Don't we go around doing that? There's only one way, there's only one way, there's only one way. We don't believe that. We don't live that way. We don't live like there's only one way. Yes, there's only one way into heaven. That's through the Messiah. Absolutely. But there's only one way to live our life, and that's according to God's Word. If you want to be holy. If you don't care about holiness, then you don't have to live according to the Word. You can still go to heaven. But you're going to pick up a few worms along the way because of the pork you've eaten. What can I say? Your finance is going to collapse because you're not tithing. You're not giving the first fruits. All of these things, they start... You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's all these little things start adding up in my life. That's what I've come to realize. And then I wonder why things aren't going the way I believe they should be going. Look, we're on a journey here together, amen? All right. I got to hurry here. Can you keep the commandments as Torah spells them out?
Yes.
Thank you. The answer is yes. Now, as you're sharing your Hebrew and Jewish roots with your friends and other believers, one of the first things they're going to tell you is you cannot keep the law. What is that based on? That is based on ignorance, and it is based on teaching that we've received. It's true. You can't work your way to heaven, but you can keep Torah. Let me show you. It's right in the Word. Oh, interesting. Here's how we know. Look. First off, Moses says you can. How many know Moses is a great man? You think Moses knew the Lord? I'll tell you something. Moses knew the Lord better than all of us put together. He went into His presence several times. You think, and lived. You think Moses knew the Lord? You think Moses knew the ways of the Lord? Turn to Deuteronomy. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10. However, all this will happen only if you pay attention to what Adonai your God says. He's talking about the blessings, the abundance of life. It's only going to happen if you pay attention to what Adonai your God says, so that you obey His mitzvot and regulations which are written in this book of the Torah. If you turn to Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being, for this mitzvah which I am giving you today is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. This is Moses speaking. And then jump down to 14. On the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. Where do we get the notion we can't do Torah? We've been taught falsely. Because there's not an understanding of the difference between sanctification, holiness, righteousness. We lump it all together in our hearts. And we wonder why we get confused. Okay? You can compare that with Romans 10:4, by the way, in your own time. Deuteronomy 30, compare it with Romans 10:4. Joshua. By the way, Deuteronomy was the book that Yeshua himself quoted more than any other book. Deuteronomy. So if you want to do what Jesus did, you got to know Deuteronomy. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. How many know Joshua? Great man of God. Joshua says you can keep Torah. Page 242. Joshua says, chapter 1, verse 8, yes, keep this book of the Torah on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. So Joshua seems to think that we can keep Torah. David, turn to Psalm 119. Verse 166, it'll be page 919. Psalm 119, verse 166. He says, I hope for your deliverance, Adonai. I obey your mitzvot. This is David. So David obviously believes you can obey the mitzvot. You can do Torah. You can literally do this in your life. It doesn't end with David. Yeshua. How many know Yeshua knows the Lord very well? Turn to John. Now, by the way, notice we're in John. Which covenant is this? This is the Brit Hadashah. This is our book. John 14. 14 verse 15. Yeshua speaking. If you love me, how many love the Lord? How many love Yeshua? If you love me, you will keep my mitzvot. Now, to me, that sounds like Yeshua believes it's possible for you to keep the commandments, to keep Torah. Doesn't matter what the pastors across America are saying, you can keep Torah. You can do it. It is not too difficult. It is not too hard. We just have to decide that we want to do it, and we have to make a crucial decision, and that decision is this. We have to decide that we no longer want to look for legalistic spiritual loopholes called grace and use and abuse grace. Because that is exactly what is happening. The church at large is abusing grace to condone our lifestyle. And then we want revival. Then we want the blessings of God. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen because we're not doing what Moses told us to do, Joshua told us to do, David told us to do, Yeshua told us to do, Shaul told us to do. You don't have to turn there, but Philippians 3:6, Shaul says, according to the law, I am blameless. According to Torah, I am blameless. This is New Testament theology. That means he kept Torah. Period. And his claim is, he kept it perfectly. He was blameless in it. So the next time a Christian tells you it's not possible to keep Torah, you need to inform them about the truth. Because they are deceived. You can keep Torah. And Hashem, last but certainly not least, Hashem. How many know what Hashem means? The name. Who are we talking about? The Father. Hashem says you can be holy and keep Torah. And I think he knows what he's talking about. He says, I am the Lord your God, and I am holy, so you be holy. This isn't some proverbial carrot that's being dangled out in front of us. Amen? That we cannot keep. Okay. Vince and Peggy, would you come and read Aliyah for us? These last ones are going to go very quick, so because I wanted to build holiness today. Bear with me for a few more minutes here.
We'll be reading from Leviticus 19:1-5. Adonai said to Moshe, speak to the entire community of Israel. Tell them, you people are to be holy, because I, Adonai, your God, am holy. Every one of you is to revere his father and mother, and you are to keep my Shabbat. I am Adonai, your God. Do not turn to idols. Do not cast metal gods for yourselves. I am Adonai, your God. When you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to Adonai, offer it in a way that will keep you accepted. Okay, now, verse 9, 18. When you harvest the ripe crops produced in your land, don't harvest all the way to the corners of the field, and don't gather the ears of grain left by the harvesters. Likewise, don't gather the grapes left on the vine or fallen on the ground after harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners. I am Adonai, your God. Do not steal from, defraud, or lie to each other. Do not swear by my name falsely, which would be profaning the name of your God. I am Adonai. Do not oppress or rob your neighbor. Specifically, you are not to keep back the wages of a hired worker all night until morning. Do not speak a curse against a deaf person or place an obstacle in the way of a blind person. Rather, fear your God. I am Adonai. Do not be unjust in judging. Show neither partiality to the poor nor deference to the mighty, but with justice judge your neighbor. Do not go around spreading slander among your people, but also don't stand idly by when your neighbor's life is at stake. I am Adonai. Do not hate your brother in your heart, but rebuke your neighbor frankly, so that you won't carry sin because of him. Don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself. I am Adonai. Observe my regulations. Okay, verse 30. 32, 34. Keep my Shabbats and revere my sanctuary. I am Adonai. Do not turn to the spirit mediums or sorcerers. Don't seek them out to be defiled by them. I am Adonai your God. Stand up in the presence of a person with gray hair. Show respect for the old. You are to fear your God. I am Adonai. If a foreigner stays with you in your land, do not do him wrong. Rather, treat the foreigner staying with you like the native born among you. You are to love him as yourself, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am Adonai your God. And verse 37. Observe all my regulations and rulings and do them. I am Adonai.
Sounds like Adonai thinks you can do the rulings and the regulations. It would appear that way.
Do you want it read? This is my phone.
Either way. Peggy's going to also read.
Chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so that the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation which I shall drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Hence I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. Verse 26, thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine.
Thanks, guys. Good job. Whose notes are these? Now, interestingly enough, can you see that you're already doing most of the mitzvot that we just read there? Isn't that interesting? Most Christians are ignorant of this fact, but most believers are already fulfilling most of the commandments. A large portion of them. It's just we have this adversity to saying, I'm following Torah. We just can't bring ourselves to do that. For whatever reason, because we're under grace. We need to just get real here, get honest with ourselves, and say, you know what? God's word is for us today. And I'm going to do it because when I do it, my life is going to go better. According to His word. That's what He tells us. And I know that each and every one of us wants our lives to go better. Now let's talk about these things a little bit. In Leviticus 19... the very first one, in verse 3, the very first commandment he gives here, he says, every one of you is to revere his father and mother, and you are to keep my Shabbats, for I am Adonai your God. Now, it's interesting that he ties these two together. Okay? This is not just two, this is one unit. Okay? Let me show you this. Roman numeral 4, to revere your parents is holiness. Now, sometimes parents can make it very difficult on us, as we all know. This is why Shaul in the New Testament says, parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Because if we provoke them to anger, we, as the parent, are in sin, and we bring our children into sin. So this is a two-way street. You know, as baby boomers, which most of us in this room are, one of the things that's going on right now is our parents are getting older. They're getting to that place in their life where they need to be helped. They're relying on our... they're dependent upon us. And they're also at that age of life where they're pretty set in their ways, and they can be obnoxious. To be perfectly honest, I mean, they can get a little cantankerous. Have mercy, show mercy and grace, because you and I are going to be in that boat one day, should the Lord tarry ourselves. And remember, you're going to reap what you've sown. So as we're dealing with our parents, we need to show them honor and respect and keep it tied in with God's instruction. This word revere is the Hebrew word yarah, yarah. It means to fear. We are to fear our parents with a reverence. In Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments, the same commandment we're told to honor. Kabid. Kabed? Kabed. Means to glorify our parents. Now, interestingly enough, he also goes on and he says in the same commandment, by keeping and keep the Sabbaths. Keep the Sabbaths. Keeping the Sabbaths is holiness. And by the way, that's plural. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Every one of you is to revere his father and mother, and you are to keep my Shabbats. Plural. That's not only talking about the seventh day Shabbat, but it's also talking about the Shabbats of the feasts and the festivals. We are to keep them. He ties this in with being holy and showing reverence to our Heavenly Father. You want to know how to show reverence to your Heavenly Father? He says, keep my Shabbats. What the Shabbats are, in essence, is holy time the Lord has consecrated and said, this is holy time, and I want the holy people to come to their holy God for a holy convocation. If the holy people come to a holy God on an unholy time and try to have a holy convocation, it is no longer a holy convocation. Because one part of the equation is wrong. You have to have holy people, holy time, holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Holy people, holy time, holy God. Amen? Something to think about. Holy people, holy God, unholy time. Doesn't make holy, holy, holy. It only says holy, holy. Big difference. Big difference. Are you getting this? In 5a here, you will be set apart from others if you revere your parents and if you revere your Heavenly Father by keeping the Shabbats, you will be different than probably 99% of all believers. You will be set apart. How are you already experiencing that? When I tell other believers I'm keeping Shabbat, I realize very quickly I am set apart.
Yeah.
I am different. And they let me know about it. But I'm going to tell you something. We always want to say, well, there's no such thing as holier than thou. There is such a statement as holier than thou. A holier than thou person is the one that's keeping the commandments holy. The holier than thou is the person that's keeping the holy things holy. You can't be more righteous than somebody else, but you can be more holy than somebody else. And that's our goal. Is it not? You glorify your Heavenly Father by keeping the Shabbats holy? You will be set apart, 5a, from others. What is set apart? Holiness. Roman numeral 6, caring for the needy is holiness. Most believers believe this, they do it. This is just keeping the mitzvah. That's why there are many, many blessings for those that will truly and honestly say, well, the Torah is not for today. They're still blessed. They're blessed because even in ignorance, they're doing many of the things. And when you do these things, you reap the consequences or the benefits. Period. Whether you believe in it, acknowledge it, understand it, or you're in ignorance, it doesn't matter. They produce fruit. How much more reaping of good things would be in our lives if we kept all of Torah? As for me and my house, we're on a quest. Because I want the blessings of God this side of heaven. I am serious about this. Amen. Roman numeral 7. Integrity is holiness. By the way, you can read in your own time, but mark down in your notes Luke 2, 41 through 52. You'll see that Yeshua kept the Shabbats and still honored his parents at the same time. Read the story there. It's where he's 12 years old and he's in the temple. They leave to go home and they come back. They find him 3 days later. That, of course, is a prophetic statement in and of itself. 3 days later, they find him. And he says, why are you upset? His mother is very upset. She says, why have you done this to us, son? We've been worried about you. Can you imagine her worriedness? I mean, she'd already been face to face with the angels and said, this is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And she's lost him. This is not just a 12-year-old that, you know, got out there. This is the Son of God. And she lost him. I'm sure she's very worried. This is not a good thing. Why are you worried, son? Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And so he's honoring his heavenly Father. And then right after that, it says, and Yeshua went with them and obeyed his parents. And he ties this command right together of honoring your parents and keeping the Shabbat. Read it. You'll see it. It's clear as a bell. Integrity is holiness. Turn to Leviticus 19:16. Let me show you this. 19:16 says, do not go around spreading slander among your people, but also don't stand idly by when your neighbor's life is at stake, for I am Adonai. Listen, to listen to slander, negative talk, or gossip. We've already been talking about the evil tongue. And it's so serious. In the Hebrew, this verse literally means when you do these things, when you listen to slander, negative talk, or gossip, you're standing upon the blood of your neighbor. Yeshua refers to this because Yeshua said, you can kill people with your tongue. You can commit murder with your tongue. And the Hebrew here says, and I had Haim check this out to make sure, it means to stand upon the blood of your neighbor when you slander or talk negative or you gossip. So you know what that means? If you want to obey Torah, we need to zip our lips. The only thing that comes out of my mouth is going to be positive. It has to be that way. Otherwise, I defile myself, I murder my brother, I'm standing on his blood. That's how God sees it. Yeah, but Lord, I was speaking truth. You're standing on your brother's blood. Period. This is serious. And unfortunately, gossip is one of the sins in the church that really has some momentum. It's almost an acceptable sin when we're speaking truth. I hear believers all the time, brother, I just want to speak the truth to you in love. And then they murder you with their tongue. You know what? Let the Holy Spirit do that. He's very capable. Is he not?
Yes.
I've heard people in prayer, more times than I can count, gossip in their prayer. Public prayer. Oh Lord, forgive so-and-so who I know is in adultery. And they're using drugs and alcohol. All that is gossip. Trying to be masked by prayer. And I'm telling you, God says you're standing on your brother's blood. Don't do it. Because you might be deceived, but he is not. He knows exactly what's going on. Let's really get that one down. Roman numeral 8, or 7a. If you move in integrity, you will be set apart from others. You will be set apart from others. Roman numeral 8, proper speech is holiness. Actually, we just talked about that. I jumped ahead. Roman numeral 9. Proper speech is holiness. Now, obviously, I can't hit every one of the commandments we've read about this week. But you can start to see, when we study God's Word, guys, we need to go as deep as we can possibly go. Because it is filled with wealth. I suggest you don't just read the Torah portion that's outlined and try to speed read it and get through as fast as you can so you can get to McDonald's for that Egg McMuffin.
No.
I suggest you get into the Word and you stay there till you get a nugget from God. That's what I like to do. When I pick up the Word, I usually don't put it down until I've gotten a nugget from Him. And you know, sometimes He tests me in that, and I got to just sit there and really go for it. You don't get nuggets in the first 35 seconds. You got to dig. But dig, because God will start speaking things to you that otherwise you'll just fly right past and never get. Don't do that. Roman numeral 9, you are to be holy, for I am holy. What that means, in letter A, we need to act differently than others. If you're set apart, if you're doing what all the other believers are doing, you're not holy. Because holiness is being set apart. Now, I suppose there could be the odd time when the majority is doing it. But those are the odd times. Quite honestly, you're to act differently. You're to eat differently. I'm not saying you have to be kosher in your eating, but I will tell you this. I've always believed, and I don't eat kosher, but I've always believed if you ate kosher, you would be healthier. I have no doubt about that. I mean, does God not know what the perfect diet is? Come on. If God says this is good for you and this is not good for you, look, I may eat this anyway, but I believe that God understands what He's talking about. We're to eat differently. And I want to challenge you to that, because we are the temple of the living God. If we put dirty in to the temple, we are defiling the temple. What do you think the consequences are? Not good. There's no benefit in defiling the temple of the living God. There's no benefit in that. We are to marry differently. We are to work differently. We are to look differently. You know, listen, again, we are not to have tattoos all over our bodies and piercings. That's a very faddish...